Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, peace and love to you all. This is your host tonight, Sister Shekinah Bird, the Bird Lady, coming to you on the 1,158th episode. Woohoo! How are you doing tonight? What are you doing tonight? I missed y'all. It's been a whole month since we've been together. So I'm going to do something a little different tonight. But first, let's start off with a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles or your phone or your laptop or your computer, whatever you have, if you want to follow along, do so. Tonight, I am going to come out of 1 John Chapter 4, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. Are you ready? Are you ready? Get set, go, beloveds. Chapter 4 reads, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love, the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Let me just read 20 again, because I read this in its entirety so that you can paint a picture. But I really want to focus on verse 20. So let me say it again. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Now, church, John wrote this letter to the church to show and to teach love. He wanted to show how God expected us to love as God is love. We are expected and created to love. Can anybody tell me how you can hate your brother whom you see and love a God who we don't see? You know, it reminded me. I mean, we can't ignore what's going on, you know, with COVID-19, the coronavirus. You know, they said it's the invisible enemy who's here to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And it just made me think, we can't see the coronas. We don't know where it is. They say it lives on this surface, it lives here, every other day it changes. You know, it's unknown, we don't know. But the point is that we can't see it. And it just reminded me of God's people. Church, talking to you, brothers and sisters, it seems like a lot of us, and that means the body, are very scared right now. A lot of our brothers and sisters, you know, the faith is like dwindling away. And I understand, you know, this is something scary. You know, people are on ventilators. They're falling out. They can't breathe. People are dying. So, you know, naturally you'd be afraid and, you know, leery and, you know, very cautious and hopefully taking the precautions that we need to take. But right now I just want to focus on the invisible part. So I said, wow, God, because I like to try to see the good in whatever looks like it's not good. So I said, God, are you teaching them? Are you teaching us to finally be able to trust that which we cannot see? Because it's quite obvious that we are trusting that this coronavirus is deadly, you know, it's out to still kill and destroy, because if not, we would not be putting on gloves and masks and, you know, just ensuring that we are protecting ourselves when we are going out to the essential places. Because I know that at this point we're only going out to essential places, right? Right, but that's not the point. We are now getting to a point that we don't have a choice but to trust the unseen. Because with your natural eyes, I'm not talking to the you know, super saints, you know. With your natural eye, you can't see God. With your natural ears, you can't hear God. With your hands, you cannot touch God. Yet God commanded us to trust. But it seems to be quite a difficult task. Because if so, the Bible would not have spelled out these things as it so delightfully written out. Not my words. This is just what the Bible says. And it's pertinent. Like we are certainly living in a time that trust might be all we have. So thank you, God. Thank you for teaching us how to pay attention to that which we cannot see. Thank you for this. No, it did not come in a pretty package. No, it's not a pretty bow. No, we're not happy to see it. But for a moment, can we just sit back and see how we can become better children of God, of the Most High? Can anybody help me out with that? Because if you listen, and I want to say, first of all, okay, thank you for everybody who's listening, who consistently listen, those who tell a friend, a family member, we want to thank you. Thank you. This is the 1,158th episode. So thank you, God, for blessing this whole ministry. For people, and I also want to give you the call-in number right now. If you want to call in, we can be reached at 319-527-6091, or you may call in at 323-870-4174, or you can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. So, and I will repeat that later on in the show. I wanted to talk to you guys. We'll get back to the scripture. The name of my ministry is Building a Foundation. And I realize that people, you know, you tune in and you listen, and sometimes you might not feel connected if you don't know a person. So I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, and that's I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about myself, because I hope that in that you can get to know me a little bit better so that you feel a little more connected, because I know sometimes it's difficult to trust, right? Especially that which you cannot see. You cannot see me. You probably are thinking, how did I come up with that name? Where did that come from? Building a foundation, or more, who even authorized me or qualified me to think that I can help build a foundation? Well, I am glad you asked. I'm glad you want to know, because I wanted to know myself. I wanted to know why God chose me. Let me also say the reason why I hardly ever talk about myself is because of the profession that I have. I'm used to everyone talking to me, so there's never any time for me to talk about myself, because I'm always the listener. And I do a lot of listening to other people talk. And there's really no time for me to bring up anything about myself. That doesn't really matter. My focus is to help people where they are to get to where they need to be. So back to the gifts. You know, God gave me a gift to be able to see, discern, to have dreams, to have a lot of understanding on things that I particularly, you know, didn't want. You know, in the church, you know, depending on, you know, a lot of times the denomination of the church that you go to, you know, people, they pray for certain gifts. You know, they want to have this gift that Sister Mary have, and they want to, you know, have the gift to prophesy like Prophetess John, and to be able to pray like Sister Kim, and et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think that you fully understand that to whom much is given, much is required. I want you to understand that there's a price for the anointing. The gift is free. You have to pay for the anointing. And there were many times, many, 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 many times, that the gift was very heavy. To be able to see things that I don't want to see, to know things I don't want to know. It was really unsettling and disheartening, and I just did not want the gift. I'm going to tell it tonight. I went to God several different times, and I prayed, your gift away. I don't want it. I don't want to deal with it. I'm tired of fighting with your people. It's too heavy. Can't you see? Did I even ever tell you that I wanted this? Yeah, this is the truth. And if anybody know what I'm talking about, call in, because I like to hear it too, because I know I'm not by myself. That's right. I got bold enough. I prayed. I don't want it. Take it away now. And every time I prayed it, you know, he didn't take it away until my prayers got more intense. I don't want to deal with it. I give it to somebody who wants it, because it's not me. I didn't ask for this. And guess what? Guess what? One day, it was gone. It was gone. I didn't have any dreams. I would call myself turning the blind eye to that which was revealed. I would tell myself that, hold on, this is all in my head. Ignore that. That's not of God. God took the gift away anyway. You know, because I just didn't want to be a part of it. It was heavy. It was difficult. It was too much of a fight, you know. Why do I have to fight with these people? You know, you want me to help them. I'm sick of it. Took the gift away, y'all. And when that happened, I started to think. You know, I started to wonder. I started to talk. Why'd you take your gift away? You know, now I'm really, you know, now I really can't help, and I can't see. It was a disaster. Okay, I was just in a place where I just didn't know. I didn't know where I wanted to be. if I should continue, if I shouldn't continue, if I should just give it up. You know, I don't know if anybody out there ever went through a phase where you just wanted to be normal. Y'all ever go through that? Maybe like everybody else, because, you know, this is lonely. Anybody out there got a gift or anointing that you are lonely? I mean, lonely in the earthly realm. Lonely in that you don't really have too many people that you can talk to about your giftedness. Too many people that understand. Because, see, my gift don't really allow for me to commune frequently with those who are not needy of something. That's just so. One day I was just open up the Bible. I'm sure it happened to you a few times. And I just opened it up to a scripture. It was during the time I was asking, why me? Why me? And I came right across the scripture that said, are those who are healed needy of the doctor? Yep. Y'all know the feeling if you've ever experienced something like that. And I'm like, wow. But God, you know how I am. Can we do this on, you know, on my terms? You know, the next time around, if I agree to this, if you really called me to this, you know I ain't going to really leave. But allow for me to have my hearing. I need fine hearing. You know, I need to know that when they fight me, when they reject me, direct me to the scriptures, whatever it is you have to do. Put a sign on, because I needed to be trained to hearken more to the voice of God and understand again that the battle is not yours. Just do what I called you to do and do what I asked you to do, and I got the rest. It's not you that's going to be saving anybody. You don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. You just use what I gave you, and you're good. Don't ever come to me again talking about, y'all remember the scripture about the talent, and it was a one with the one talent that wasn't satisfied because it was only one. So, you know, when you don't use it, you lose it. And why did I tell you this story? I told you this story just in case you wanted to know who appointed me to build the foundation. Well, it's the God that you and I serve that have appointed me and have anointed me to perform and carry out gifts and the anointment that was bestowed upon me. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I wasn't in on it. As you can hear, as you listen, I didn't even agree to it. At one point, I disagreed. So God, yes, God has called me because some days I might come on and it might be a matter on my heart that I feel like I need to discuss with you all, and it might be something that you don't want to hear. You know how many conversations I have to have with people, and they don't want to hear it? It has nothing to do with it being inaccurate or completely off. They just don't want to hear it. You know, who wants their truths uncovered and unveiled? Who wants to be kind of redirected? Nobody. You want to believe that what you're doing is correct, that it's okay. And if not, who are you to tell me? Well, no, that's why it's building the foundation, because we're building it together. So don't ever think that first of all, I'm not talking to myself when we're having a discussion. That's why I encourage you all to call in to have a conversation. Let's talk together. Let's build together. Each one reach one, each one teach one, because we all are in this together. Just accept me and my gifts for what they are. I'm used to it. I'm very much used to it not feeling good, but God chastises those whom he loves, right? Right? And I'm not saying I'm God, but I'm sent. I'm sent, and I need to carry it out. And guess what? We are all on this path together. Together. So this is the reason why the Spirit led me to 1 John chapter 4. I needed to explain a little bit about who I am, you know, why I came. I am new to Purpose Kingdom Network. I am one of the newer hosts. And self-disclosure is good. It allows you to have a piece of me. I know that you can't see me, you can't touch me, and you probably would like to have no more. Hey, well, who are you? And, you know, where do you come from, and what have you been through? Because sometimes if you feel like a person cannot see you or have not been where you are, then they can't help you. That's not always the truth, but that's generally how people feel. Well, how would you know? How would you understand? How would you know how this feel? You know, this has never happened to you. So just know how I got here, what my purpose is, and just know that it's real. If anybody wants to call in and tell me a story about yourself, the path that you traveled, anything that I said, anything that resonated, I would like to hear. And right now there is a caller. I would like the caller to come through. Caller, are you there?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Excuse me. I wanted to come on because when you said, is there anybody out there who their call, their anointing, their gift can be lonely, or it could get them to the point where they want to say, you know what, I don't even want to do this no more. Like, you didn't tell me all of this was going to go along with what it was you wanted me to do. And when you were sharing, it made me think of myself, first of all. Like, that was the first person that came to mind, because I remember my, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can go without having, you know, true friends that I can talk to for real in the fleshly realm, because, you know, folks see you and they want to see you one way, but every now and then you just trying to be human. That don't mean you trying to walk in or dwell in sin, but you just trying to, you know, woosah, relax, deal mm-hmm. with life, process your own emotions. So it's funny that you said that, and then as you were saying it and sharing it, and you said, you know I'm not the only one, I was like, no, you're not the only one. Let me push one. And then as I was on hold waiting for you to bring me on, the Lord said, now let them know about Jeremiah, because the prophet Jeremiah, one of the major prophets, as awesome a prophet as he was, had a moment where he was like, hold up, God, you didn't tell me it was going to be all of that. And you can read about it in Jeremiah chapter 20. Now, if you're in the King James Version, it starts at the 8th verse. But I'm going to read it from the Message Version, if that's okay with you, Sister Shekinah. So
that is okay. Could you repeat it again in case anybody's listening, they want to follow along? We in Jeremiah, what chapter?
Jeremiah chapter 20. Now, the King James Version starts at verse 8. but I'm going to be reading it from the Message version because I want it in plain English. I don't want nobody to go, oh, well, you know, that might not be how they meant or they might have mistranslated. Nope, I want you to hear exactly what Jeremiah was saying one day while he was being persecuted for being obedient to God, being laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, thrown in and out of prison, talked about, just all of that. And one day in his conversation to God, I'm reading from the Message version, Jeremiah chapter 20, and for the Message version, it starts at the 7th verse. It says, you pushed me into this, God. Of course, they're on the phone. It says, you pushed me into this, God, and I let you do it. You were too much for me, and now I'm a public joke. They all poke fun at me. Every time I open my mouth, I'm shouting murder or rape, and all I get for my God warnings are insults and contempt. But if I say forget it, no more God messages from me, the words are fire in my belly, a burning in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it any longer. Then I hear whispering behind my back. There goes old danger everywhere. Shut them up. Report them. Old friends watching, hoping I'll fall flat on my face. One misstep and we'll have him. We'll get rid of him for good. And so for anybody that feels like that, I want you to know you are not alone. Jeremiah felt like that. But I want you to remember what Paul tells us. I believe it's in Corinthians, where he says, but when I'm weak, then he is strong.
Mm-hmm.
So it was when he got to that point, because the 11th verse he picks up and says, but God, a most fierce warrior, is at my side. Those who are after me will be spent sprawling, slapstick baffoons falling all over themselves, a spectacle of humiliation no one will ever forget. So although, yes, he had that moment where he was like, yo, I'm about sick of this here nonsense, he also got back to the place where he remembered. But guess what? Everybody that I've ever seen do it, you turned this whole situation around. If you don't believe me, look at what's going on in America today. We've been saying for a long time that Christ is bigger than the four walls of your church. And look what he done did. He done shut the church down to make people pay attention to him. I just wanted to share that with y'all. God bless you. Thank you for sharing.
God bless you. Thank you.
Your hand.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So if anybody else out there can relate and would like to call on, please do so at 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. We would love to hear from you. So back to the scripture at hand. I wanted to focus on all of our brothers and sisters who are fearful right now, who have little faith. And I like to know why. Why are you afraid? Why are you hiding? Why do you feel like God has left you? We're going to come back to that. There's a caller right now, and I would like to bring the caller on. Caller, are you there?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? Praise the Lord.
Fine. Good evening. My name is Michelle Hines. I'm a regular caller. You know, I get on and I listen. I love the show. I love it. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. We love you.
The word that you're speaking tonight. And when you was talking about your gift, that kind of sunk in with me because 3 years ago, my children was placed into foster care for a year. And I got them back.
So
praise the Lord.
I wanted to give back.
Praise the Lord.
So my sister was in a situation, still in a situation, and I took two of her daughters, and one of them is pregnant. She's 15. The other one is now 13 at the time. She was about to turn 13. One day their mom came over to visit, and, you know, I guess the daughter felt some type of way, and, you know, she just wanted to go with her mom, but she couldn't because, you know, what the situation was.
Right.
And she just started going off, and when her mom left or whatever, she was like, I hate this effing house, talking about my house,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So she just started going off, trying to fight my daughter. And so I called her family, and I told them they had to come and get her. They couldn't come get her. I got her in a lift and sent her to them. So something happened. She had to come back. But when she came back this time, she had a total different attitude. Now I'm dealing with the pregnant one. Now, going to what Pastor Tori was saying when she was saying with your gifts, like you didn't know that all this stuff came with it. Yeah, because they told me I had to be the mom overseer. To me, an overseer is somebody just looking after the person, making sure they got to do what they got to do. But
mm-hmm.
that wasn't the case. I had to make sure that the girl was going to her doctor's appointments and her prenatal and this and that. And you know, she started getting disrespectful and stuff. So I wound up giving them back. And, you know, I'm kind of feeling some type of way because they still in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know, it was overwhelming for me. And I got six kids on my own. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4 teenagers. I'm 19, 17, 16, and one about to be 14.
Okay.
So, yes, it was, you know, it was overwhelming. And there's a bunch of females.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was, it was overwhelming for me. So, you know, the day when my niece got disrespectful, not just with me, but towards her mother, I'm like, I can't take this no more. And, you know, I sent them with the grandma. I just wanted to get my feedback on when we, you know, talk about our gifts and, you know, how we don't know everything that's going to come with it.
Yeah.
When we ask for it.
Yes, or when we don't.
They didn't tell me all that. They just said, you know, basically, like I said, I just had to make sure mom was doing what she was supposed to do. But then I had this other woman come and telling me, oh, you got to take her to her doctor's appointments, and you got to do this, and you got to, I'm like, oh, whoa, that's too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't do all of it. My kids can do all, you know, do it all on their own. So, you know.
But you know what? Right now, I want to thank God for you and for your gift and for you calling. And I just want to let you know that you were chosen. God chooses. He chooses whom he wants. And guess what? Although the crown, it definitely gets heavy. As I just said, it definitely gets heavy. There are many nights or many of uh-huh. days where it feels like it's definitely too much to bear.
Uh-huh.
But God, he could have given your gift and any of our gifts to anybody else, but he found it fit for you to have it. There are people right
uh-huh.
now praying for your gift, wishing that God thought enough of them to give them something. And we all have gifts, but a lot of people don't know what the gift is. People are spending a lot of money for somebody to tell them who God already anointed and pointed them to be. They're spending money on that. So count it all joy that you know what that is, and you take that gift and you rock on with your bad self with it. And you thank him for it and say, yes, it's hard. Sometimes it feels like it's too hard. But please direct me to where I need to be when it gets too when the load gets too heavy to carry. So thank God for your gift. I want you to thank God. I'm thanking God with you. I hope to hear from you again to tell me how you are wearing that gift, sister, because we all will want to know. And I'm going to hold you up in prayer. I hold you up, and you hold me up. Sister Michelle, you still there? Okay, I might have lost her. There is another caller. Carla, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to PKN.
Thank you.
This is my first time hearing you speak. But I wasn't going to say anything because I like to listen. I like to focus and listen and absorb and learn and, you know, and I, you know, so I can carry it on to the next person. But I was very inspired by the last caller, and I'm always inspired by Tori. I just wanted to say, because you all had my wheels turning about the gift, I have never actually said to God, I don't want it or take it away. Because when you said that, I was thinking to myself, did I ever say that? Did I ever feel like that? Because, you know, sometimes you have to think back, and I was trying to think, I never felt that. But my situation was, when I thought about it, was I was afraid to access my gift. When I can give you an example of when I was stranded in Philadelphia, because I'm from Philadelphia, born and raised, but I live in Georgia now.
Okay.
But when I was stranded in Philadelphia in 2012, when I got back home, my daughter had some medical issues, and my pastor took her in his home and took care of her, and I moved to the nearest apartment I could get close to him so I could access my baby. And I moved into a side of the Father's will that I didn't have any knowledge of, and it was a really bad area, but I didn't know it at the time because my focus was just get anything that's available I could get next to my baby. But I ended up in the hood, child, in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always go to church and tell my pastor, I want to move. I got to get out of that neighborhood. It's so bad. I could sit on my bed in my bedroom and watch the drug deals go down out my window, or all of the drug dealers would be at the school bus stop early in the morning with the kids, like 7:30. And I said to the management one day, like, you know, if these men could be dressing at a bus stop with these kids at 7:30, then they can go get jobs. And when the management said, they do. They are on the job. They're supplying the kids with drugs to take to school and stuff. I said, oh, okay. And you know about it. So it was just a place that I really didn't want to be. So I would complain, God, I don't want to be here. I need to go. I want to go somewhere else. And I went to Bible study one night. There was one particular man who used to visit our church frequently for our Bible studies and our services. And he said to me one day when I voiced how I felt, he said, there's always a light in the dark place. And you're the light in the dark place. And I knew he was correct, even though I didn't want to hear it at the time. I knew he was correct because when I moved in this area, I was the van driver for my church, and I parked the church van in front of my apartment alongside my car. And several people, as I would drive through the neighborhood coming home or going out, several people got pointed out to me, you know, invite them to church. I said, oh, God, I ain't inviting these people because they ain't going to cuss me out. Well, they're not going to ever get the opportunity to say to me, I don't want your God, or I ain't going to no church. You know how we just have that fear of rejection. And I didn't ask him, and I didn't talk to any one of them that he showed me. And one day I spoke to a neighbor, and long story short, we were talking in her kitchen one day, and she was selling lunches and dinners. And I was sitting there talking to her, and people were coming to her house to purchase lunches and dinners, and they were like, aren't you that lady that drives that church van over there? And I'm like, yes, because I didn't know anybody. And I said, yeah. And they was like, I've been wanting to go to church, and I ain't had no way to go or whatever. I'm telling you, it was about 5 or 6 people that God told me to invite to church, and I refused. And within 1 week, every single person that he had told me to invite found me and let me know that there was a reason that God appointed them to me. So we have fear of stepping out on God, because if God told you to do it, he already paved the way. He already softened that heart. He didn't already made it possible. You just have to be obedient and make those steps. So, and like I was telling Toy a couple of weeks ago, we were talking, and I said, you know, God don't call the equipped. He equips the call.
He definitely does.
He gives you what you need to do what you need to do. And so I was sitting here thinking, like, I never had a problem with, I guess, my gifts, because at first I didn't even know what my gifts were, but I find out that my gifts are just communicating with people, encouraging people, passing on the word, and I guess I've gotten comfortable with it now, because God will always put you in a position where you have to use your gift if you ever know it. You know, there was a position where my electric was turned off not long after I moved to Georgia, and I was like, my electric bill was $900, and they said it's off, and we're not going to cut it on until a payment is made in full. And I said, well, Lord, it's going to be off for a while, because I was living off of child support with four children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never about the money, because everybody that God had me witness to needed to hear what I told them at the time, and I didn't know it at the time. But my daughter said to me, Mom, it's not about the money, because we never had it. But the people that I had to connect to, I would have never connected to them unless my power was off. When I went to different organizations to see if they could help me with my bill or help me get my electric on, the people that I was witness to was in these areas. If my electric was never off, I would have never had a reason to connect with these people. And I will let you know that they did connect my services back with only $200 and some odd added to it, you know.
Won't he do it?
Connect, Miss Scott, connect your breakers. We have a turn on for you in the morning. And I was like, okay. Because by
then, won't he do it? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm so glad that you called your story. I hope that somebody resonated with what you said. This was really good. It reminds you, it reminds me that God is sovereign. Okay, God is perfect. Just like I read in 1 John, He does things the way things need to be done. Because if we were getting a lot of feels from this, we would think it was us. If God allowed us to really make it about us, we would actually start walking around thinking that we are God. So I'm glad that he did it this way. I thank you for calling. It's time to do the call to salvation. But I want to say something. This is to all my brothers and sisters. This is to everyone with a spiritual gift, the anointing that somehow gets really heavy. I just want to let you know that it's time to pray. It's time to pray. In Luke 21:36, it tells us to pray that we are counted worthy to escape what's about to happen here on earth. Okay, and then Matthew 6, it tells us all how to pray. To pray now, or pray later. So I just want to say that before I do the call to salvation, I have somebody very special on the phone to read something that she wrote. Read a poem that she wrote. Naima, are you there?
Hi. Good evening. I'm still here. Okay, I had decided to write something yesterday in regards to the topic that we were on today, and I just wanted to share it with all the listeners out there. So here we go. So you say you believe in me. This is what you tell people. You go to the same place to hear my words, claiming you are implementing it into your life, acting as if you talk to me daily. Well, most anyway. Remember, I know what the heart carries. You can deceive the people, but I see. I know. Today I'm coming to you, just conducting a little experiment. I come to the ones who say they believe. I come to the ones who claim this is their walk of life. So far, my predictions are correct. But I give you the words. I give you the tools, the simple ways to pass the test. Such a shame, because I've given you an open book test. Too bad you can't find the answer which is in the text. Instead, you went day by day thinking that I would give you more time. It's right there. Had I not told you the time would come, that tests and hurdles will appear. Although they appear, I would be here with you. I've never left you. So sad, because you had trust issues with me from day one, because you couldn't see what is already known to be. You crippled yourself from being set free. Now that what has already been said is happening, now you believe. Now you say there is hope. Some sort of faith is moving you towards me. I'm distraught that it took you so long to see. Nevertheless, my hand is extended, so come with me. So that poem was inspired by just, you know, with everything that's going on with COVID-19. And some of us say that we believe, and sometimes we're tested with saying that we believe in a certain, saying that we believe in God and everything that He can do for us. We don't tend to understand we don't tend to walk by faith because of the things that are not visible to us. So now that everything is going on now, it's like we have no other choice but to walk by faith and to believe in what God has said that He would do for us and that He's always there for us. So that's why my poem was inspired tonight, and in regards to the subject that we're on.
So, everyone who's listening under the sound of my voice, now is the time. As we see, some people, they don't have the next breath. You're not promised tonight. You're certainly not promised tomorrow. You're not promised another chance, another opportunity. So if that's you and you're ready to accept the Lord as your personal Savior, just repeat this simple prayer. God, for I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. I admit I have lost faith. I have little faith. But I thank you for sending your only Son who died on the cross that I may be set free. Please deliver me from the state that I am now. I would like to come join the kingdom. I would like to be a part of your kingdom. Please accept me as I am. Thank you for extending your hand to me while I am still yet a sinner. If you have said that prayer, we welcome you into the kingdom. The Lord has accepted you and our brothers and sisters now. I would like to say that Naima, she did a great job with the poem. She wrote it in about 1 to 2 minutes. So thank you, Naima, for that. It was very fitting. It was perfect. I would like to call Brother Rob in right now to give you all the announcements, and then after that, I'll be right back to close. Brother Rob, are you there?
Yes, I am here. And Sister Zakina, I'm going to tell you something, you know, real quickly before I do the announcements. You know, when you read 1 John chapter 4, that was the beginning and the end of the show, because that was just so much, so inspiring, and so much where, you know, we all have a spiritual, that spiritual enlightenment where we just forget some things in between. And just reading, you know, I remember when I read 1 John chapter 4, I remember where it was, where I thought I knew where I was until I read that into its entirety. And I just invite everybody to her opening scripture with 1 John chapter 4. And I hope that everyone do remember that and read that into its entirety, because it is such uplifting, and it's just a spiritual grounding point, you know, for me. I'm not sure how it is for anybody else, but, you know, please read that. And with that being said, this is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you who joined us for tonight's episode. I thank you, no matter whether you're calling online or listening online or calling via phone, I just thank you so much for your support here with the Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd also like to thank the guests. Beautifully read poem, and I greatly appreciate that. And I hope you can probably publish that or just share that with somebody online. If not, just make sure it's published, because it's very beautifully read. And with that, you know, if you want to hear any of our past exclusive broadcasts, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience, especially at this time where we we can't really go nowhere, but there is something greatly appreciated to listen to there at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, where you can just hear any show in its entirety. With that being said, we hope you join us with God's will, God's blessing, at the 8 p.m. hour for the turning point with our couples ministry of the Charles Lee and Reverend Maureen Lee. And please feel free to share with a friend. And once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we'll be joining us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour for the turning point with Elder Charles Lee and Reverend Maureen. We also invite you to like us on our Facebook page, where you can hear or you can see our upcoming shows and our advertisements. And also don't forget to share that with a friend. We're also on LinkedIn, iTunes, and any place where there are podcasts. You can like us there at Purpose Kingdom. We also want you to, on any of our social media pages, you can get a morning word of prayer with anchor.com, Anchor FM. And also when you get on there, you can just type in Purpose Kingdom, and that way you can get a morning word of prayer, praise. And we thank you, each and every one of you, for just listening to us and supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you, and we always, and always, the love of God, we provide a night of ministry whenever we're able to. And we thank you so much. And Sister Sakina, great job tonight, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rob, and thank you for the announcement. Let's give him a round of applause, everybody. He always does such a great job with the announcements. So what is the moral of the story? The moral of the story, brothers and sisters, is that we have to press on. We have to press on. How do we press on? We pray on. And like I said, read Luke 21:36. It tells us that we have to pray. And then Matthew 6:9 tells us all how to pray. So I want you guys to keep pressing on. I lift you all up in prayer. I thank every last caller who called in. I am thankful, and I praise God for everybody who did not call in, who listened, because, like I told you in the beginning, that's normally what I'm used to doing every day. I'm always a listener. Sometimes it's just a season to be quiet, to take in what you need to take in, to, you know, it's your time to be spiritually fed. But, you know, once you get fed, because this is the bird lady, okay? So once you get fed, you have to promise that you're not going to get spiritual diabetes. You ain't going to get spiritually fat. You're going to go ahead and release that, because we're all here to help one another. We all are members in the same body, working for the same one common goal. So you go ahead and you reach another one and you teach another one. And guess what? If you're getting on their nerves, so what? You heard Pastor Tua when she came in and reminded us about Jeremiah. Okay? We all are reminded about how Jesus was persecuted. It's okay. The gift, it sometimes, you know, it's not, it does not always feel good. No, it does not. okay? The gift is free. You got to pay for that anointing. So before we close out, Naima, do you have any closing remarks, anything that you want to say? We want to thank you again for that poem. She is, you know, readily available to write poems. She can write them really quick, and that's one of her gifts. Naima, is there any closing remarks before we say goodnight to everybody?
I just want to thank everyone for listening. This is actually my first time showcasing anything that I wrote, so it's fairly new to me. I look forward to doing that more in the future.
Thank you. Praise God, brothers and sisters. Everyone, take care. Do not try. I'm not going to try really hard not to worry about the virus that's going on. Just pray. Press on. Pray and ask God to guide you, to show you. But please, 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 please be responsible and use the common sense that he gave you. Please do that. Do not, I don't want to mix these words up. I want you to think I'm saying God is, he's, you know, he, yes, he knows all things. He, you know, God is responsible for all. But please, let's use our common sense. I thank you all. I praise God for you. I'm going to be praying for you. And until next time, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Take care of your brothers and sisters. And we are going to promise each other that we are going to do our best not to live in fear. And we realize that God didn't give us the spirit of fear. God bless you all. Good night. I love you. Until next time.
Jesus bless.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Step one to see me down. I will not lose.
He saved me.
Yeah.